The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Marcus, and welcome to another episode of Toilet Side Wrestling Talk. Today's guest hails from the great state of Georgia and began wrestling in 2018. Trained at the One Fall Power Factory under QT Marshall and someone named Glacier, and has worked for such promotions as Georgia Premier Wrestling, Southern Honor, New South Pro Wrestling, Atlanta Wrestling Entertainment, Livewire Wrestling, Spartan Pro Wrestling, and she worked in AEW Dark Match back in 2019 and also participated in the 2019 AEW All Out Women's Casino Battle Royal. Shared the ring with the likes of Danny Jordan, Zoe Sky, Robin Renegade, Brooklyn Creed, Trixie, Nyla Rose, Thunder Blonde, and I could go on. So let's welcome today's guest, someone who, unlike me, does not vomit at the smell of Cheetos. I give you the fighting siren, Chalance Royale. Chalance, how are you?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I am doing fine. Thank you for coming on. I really appreciate it. I have to take you to task, though, because you inadvertently caused a big problem in my household. I was a little dramatic. I'm sorry. I was too dramatic with that. So, it was maybe Saturday or Sunday, like my 7-year-old and I were watching videos on your YouTube channel.
Okay.
And we see the hot Cheeto bites and wings one, and my son's like, "Oh, let's watch it." I'm like, "Okay." What time of day was that?
It had to be sometime between 11 a.m. and 2 p.m.
And were there any reservations about eating on white sheets?
All the reservations about eating on white sheets.
did it come? Was it clean afterwards?
No
drips.
Oh,
wow.
Yes,
that's impressive.
I was surprised.
Yeah, the problem it created was now my son wants to try them and I hate Cheetos. So it's something that my wife's going to probably do like on the side, but I have to be really aware of it because then our remote controls are all crusty from their disgusting Cheeto fingers. I could have looked this up, but can you explain to me what a mukbang is?
Okay, so the short version is, I believe it originated in South Korea. The original pronunciation, I believe, is mukbang. But,
okay.
You know, when we Americans get things, you know.
Yeah. I'm ignorant as well, so.
Right, like I do, I say mukbang, whatever I feel like that day. But it originally started when, I believe it was typically women, but I guess guys adapted it too. They would sit in front of a camera, eat large amounts of food, and usually they wouldn't talk. And then eventually they would talk. And then we kind of like remix things as things went. Sorry, I'm eating my hair. And then you would, so like some people, they have their own spin on it. Like one of my favorite mukbangers, Stephanie Sue, she tells true crime stories while eating, and she's telling it to her fiance who's on the other side of the camera, and they're eating large amounts of food. So I was like, you know what? I've always wanted to do it. I actually done quite a few of them, but never posted it. They will never see the light of day. Okay. So I'm like, you know what? Let me go ahead and do this. I love to eat. I love to review foods. I love to eat in every city that I visit. So let's do this. So I appeared on Justin Armistead's channel. I don't know if you know about Justin, but I think he was featured on Tosh.0 at one point, and then was featured with Trailer Trash Tammy, and it just blew up from there. So I originally went to meet him, and then we did the mukbang kind of like in the car, like we go to a place and eat in the car and talk. So I decided to do that with just sitting and talking.
Well, it's great because good conversation always comes over food, you know, so the things that come out. Is there a lot of, like, do you feel a lot of pressure, or maybe it's fun, like, keeping up with posting on YouTube and Patreon and Twitter? And, like, is it more work for you, or is that fun?
It is work for me currently because I have so many other things that I have to do. Mm-hmm. And so I actually don't like social media at all. Like, if it was up to me, I would have someone else run it, which I actually have a friend that helps run some of them.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah, because I just don't like posting. I'm that type of person, I'll take like hundreds of pictures and I like two of them and I'll just post the two, and then you won't ever see any of the hundreds. And or I don't feel like I have anything relevant to say sometimes.
Yeah. So,
like, I'm not always that one that will post like, I'm at Starbucks today. This is what I have. I'm like, who cares about what I'm drinking right now? Only have like 100 followers on Twitter and, you know, things like that. So it is a chore, but I have to do better because in this day and age, it's social media, and that's one of the biggest ways to promote ourselves. So I got to do better.
Yeah, but there is some element of entertainment for yourself in it.
Yeah.
It's not like you get up in the morning like, oh, I got to record this and post this and keep up sometimes, with this.
Sometimes it's like, oh, I'm so excited. Like recently, I debuted my new wrestling gear. So I was excited to post the pictures because I'm like, ooh, I look good. I'm feeling myself. But there's other times I'm like, oh my gosh, I look like a whale and no one else needs to see this. So I'm not going to post it.
No, you said in one of your videos about when you were watching your first match, like you don't like watching yourself wrestle. You don't like watching yourself sing. Is this in the same vein? Like you just don't want to post this stuff because you think no one will care?
Yeah,
I look at it like you do, because you look frightened watching, or stressed rather, watching your first match.
Oh yeah, it's well, one thing I think I'm my biggest critic. Mm-hmm. So anything that I have to watch of myself, I don't like it. I don't like it because I'll pick it apart. That's why I've actually made quite a few YouTube videos that are just sitting on the editing floor that I've yet to post because the video could be fine, and then mark 5:23 of the video, I'm like, oh my gosh, I look horrible right here. I don't know what, but I can't edit it out or it won't make sense. Therefore, it's never going to get seen. So I think I'm just hypercritical of myself, and for reasons.
Yeah. But
I just, sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's stressful.
Were you, like, as a kid, were you shy?
No. Personally, I struggled growing up and even now with self-esteem issues.
Okay.
And so I was a genuine kid that just liked to make people laugh, liked to make people happy. So I wasn't shy in the slightest because it's personality. And it wasn't until I got a little older and I realized that people care about how you look. And now I was an athlete from elementary school, middle school, high school. So I was always thinking it's about what you do, not necessarily how you look. But as times change, you start realizing that people really care about what you look, what you say, how you do things. And I started to become really self-conscious because I wasn't the most confident kid in my appearance. But I was confident in my athletic ability. I was confident in singing, drawing, things like that. Uh-huh. And then it just switched. So that's probably another reason why I don't really like to look at some of my things like that. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying I'm just this hurt, shy child now. Now, you know, but that's just something that I struggled with. And, you know, I know a lot of women, heck, even men, struggle with the same thing. So I think that's probably like a result to why it's really hard.
And is it true that like girls in high school are really mean to each other? Like critical of one another. Like, is that something that, like, I wouldn't have had that experience, like, me, if I'm male.
Like, that you would experience?
Like, you know, like, something, like Mean Girls, for example. You've seen the movie Mean Girls?
Mm-hmm.
Now, is that, like, did you feel, like, when you were in, like, high school or middle school and stuff, other girls, like, judging?
Yeah, I felt that way, but it was weird because I was kind of protected in the sense that I was involved in so much in school. I was really good at a lot of things. So there's some people like, oh, we're not going to pick on her because everyone knows her.
Yeah.
But when it came to like guys and attention, other girls had no problem. But I really wasn't bullied. If I was, I wasn't aware. I didn't care.
Okay.
But I just happened to be in that middle line of I'm nice to everyone, so everyone's nice to me. If a girl was jealous, that was her personal problem.
Yeah,
it
yeah.
Make it like a big problem.
So you grew up in Georgia?
Mm-hmm. Macon, Georgia.
Macon, Georgia. Okay, for someone, as my wife says, stupid as I am, where is Macon, Georgia? Let's say in relation to Atlanta.
South of Atlanta. It depends. Maybe like an hour. So Macon, Georgia is like almost smack dab in the middle of Georgia.
Okay. And did you have a big family presence there or surrounding?
Not really. It was just mainly me and my mom.
Oh, okay. And so you know, obviously singing's a big part of your life. Was that something you were pushed into, or was that like your mom or family members like, here, oh my gosh, sounds like an angel?
It was something that just happened.
Mm-hmm.
Because like my mom liked music, she loves to sing, but she never pursued anything.
Mm-hmm.
So I started singing in elementary school, and it just kind of was happenstance from there because I almost dropped singing altogether.
But why was that?
So I was again that kid that got involved in everything. Like I was Quiz Bowl, Beta Club, jump rope gymnastics, tenikling team, track and field. So, you know, of course I'm like, yeah, this. And then there was choir. Well, in elementary school, and I feel so weird saying this because I'm like, I'm a little kid that had like a mental breakdown, but several events fell on one day. Like Quiz Bowl had like performance thing. And so they're like, you have to choose. So I chose to go with the jump rope gymnastics and tenikling performance. And one of the teachers was so upset at me that I didn't choose to do the Quiz Bowl and things like that, to where I'm like, I'm never going to go through this again. I can be pulled everywhere. So I decided that once I got to middle school, I was just going to go sports all the way. That's what I love.
And what was your primary? Like, did you play a different sport every season?
No, it was mainly track and field, but I did that year round in elementary school because I ran for the city.
Okay. Was there an indoor, season for track?
No, it was.
I'm in Chicago, so I'm thinking. Like, when I was in high school, we had to do indoor in the winter, obviously, but it's much different climate. Go on.
Yeah, it's always hot. So.
So you were doing that year round.
Yes. Well, mainly so it would be conditioning in like the mm-hmm. fall, winter, and then spring and summer would be actual track meets.
And what events did you compete in?
So I mainly did the 100 meter dash. The 4x100 meter relay, the 4x400 meter relay, discus, shot put, and the running long jump. I actually did really well in that. Even though I'm really tiny, my legs have always been powerful.
They're very springy. How fast could you run 100?
Oh, I don't remember.
I don't remember what's good. I think Carl Lewis ran in the nines, you know, and that's where like like the records are. So you're just saying you never broke any world records, as you know, that you know of.
That I know of, no.
You're here first. Nice. Okay, so throughout high school, you were running track. And did you have a plan you were going to go directly to college?
Well, or in high school, I mainly did soccer.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Track and field I only did in elementary school and partial middle school, and then I got involved in music in middle school.
Okay.
And then I picked up soccer, but then I had to choose again between music and sports.
Mm-hmm.
And I went ahead and chose music in high school.
Okay.
And because I knew, I'm like, hey, I want to go to college. I'm a first generation college student, so I need to go with what is going to be the best option for me. Okay. And ever since I had like a minor injury, it scared me because I'm like, if I go with sports and something happens to me, I can be done before I begin, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
before you're 20 years old, even.
Yeah.
So where did you go to school, to college?
I started at Mercer University in Macon, mm-hmm. Georgia. Mm-hmm. I finished at Wesleyan College. And throughout the terms, I also studied abroad at Ewha Women's University in South Korea, in Seoul, South Korea. And I took a few classes as well at Middle Georgia College. They changed their name so much.
Yeah, totally. So you were in South Korea. How long were you there for?
I was there for about 7 or 8 months.
Okay. Was there, at this point in your life, were you into wrestling at all?
No, not at all.
Just wanted to get the timeline straight. So did you learn to speak Korean?
I spoke enough to get by at the time, and it wasn't like conversational. It'd be like, 안녕하세요, 감사합니다, or 저기요, you know, just little things.
Okay.
And I had more vocabulary at the time because I guess your body feels like, oh, I got to get by necessity. But ever since I come back to the States, I lost it.
Did you, when you went over, did you know anyone? Were you going with anyone?
Nope, it was just me.
Oh my gosh. So how did, I'd be really nervous to me, someone said, do you want to go to South Korea? They may as well say, hey, do you want to go to Mars? Like, it seems so like far and distant, from me. Would it be somewhere you'd go back to again? Like, did you like it that much?
Oh, I loved it. In fact, that's where Shalonse was born, in South Korea.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. That's interesting.
Yeah. Right,
so you did wrestle during college. You were doing martial arts?
I did Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu and Judo for like a hot second.
Okay, what made you do that? Just for exercise?
No, so at that time, it like my earlier college days, I was engaged. And so,
young?
Yeah. Which was a surprise to me. I was that girl growing up, like, I'm not getting engaged or getting married until I get a job and a career. And then for some reason, I met this guy and I was like, what did I say? But I was engaged, but at that time, our relationship was kind of on the rock. So we were just looking for something we could do together. Uh-huh. So I'm not sure if he was serious about this, but he's like, well, why don't you come to judo and jiu-jitsu with me? We train like on Tuesdays and Thursdays. And I'm like, sure, I'll do it. So I don't know if that was his way of like, see, she's not doing anything. And next thing you know, I agree. And I actually fell in love with it. And I got pretty good at it in a short amount of time.
Yeah.
Well, that's actually the reason why I got into it.
That's really funny. So you didn't wrestle, but then after college, you started doing backyard wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question. Was there at this moment, like between college and then the backyard wrestling, does your mother have an opinion on what you should be doing after college at that point?
My mother was mortified because she's like, you're getting a degree in music? And I'm like, there's a plethora of things I can do with that, mother dearest.
She's
like, no. So I told her, which I was actually entertaining the idea of grad school, which eventually came up later, where I had to make some decisions. But I didn't tell her that I was backyard wrestling. I told her that I was like training. Like,
how long did this charade go on for?
3 or 4 months, maybe 6 months. Cause I think I started like in July of 2017 and I stopped in December 2017.
And how did the conversation go when you told her what was actually going on?
It wasn't until I decided to be a pro wrestler. She just looked at me and she's like, well, if that's what you want to do, because at that time I wasn't living at home, I moved out, so she couldn't really tell me. But she wouldn't fully accept it in her heart unless she can meet The Rock. And that's if The Rock would meet my mother. My mother would totally accept my lifestyle. So if The Rock ever hears this, please. Please.
Yeah, it's an important cause. You change someone's life, Dwayne or Rock, or The Rock.
Right.
So, your backyard wrestling. What made you decide that that's something you wanted to do? Had you watched wrestling at all prior?
Not really. So, my intro to wrestling was really like when I was a young girl. I saw like the Divas Belt, and I saw a match. I don't remember what it was in particular, but I remember I remember saying, I can do that. But then years down the line, you know, we lost cable. I couldn't watch it. But eventually I got the video games. The video games on PlayStation 2 and
PS2
is what helped me really fall for at least the showism, if that's even the word.
Show
wrestling. Mm-hmm. Yes.
Did you ever make yourself?
No. The graphics and things and the
back then.
The customizations, they I made close to myself, but not completely myself.
Okay. All right, go on. So did you know what backyard wrestling was?
No, I assumed it was exactly what the name was. Like, we're wrestling in a backyard. And honestly, that's exactly what it was. But I didn't know to look it up. They found me. It was through a mutual friend. Yeah, they found me. I commented, dear old Facebook, someone posted something martial arts related. I commented because it was something like jiu-jitsu wise, and I commented. So then that friend of my friend was like, oh, there's a girl, you do martial arts? And I'm like, I dabble. And then the conversation kind of went from there, and they're like, hey, would you mind joining our backyard wrestling promotion? You can use your judo jiu-jitsu skills here. But at the time, I was still in college, and I was struggling through college, so I didn't want to add something else. I said, hey, when I graduate, then I'll hit you up. And I'm sure they thought that I wasn't going to do it. But my senior year of college, I gained a lot of weight, or a lot more than I had liked. So when I looked at this backyard promotion, they had quite a few subscribers on YouTube. They had a plethora of content. So I'm like, if I do this, then people are going to see me. So I'm going to have to look good. So this is going to give me reasons to get back in shape. And so that's honestly the reason why I started.
That's what I was going to say. I was going to ask you if like you had to like drastically transform your body to do that. So you had a match really quick. Did you have any moves for that first match? Fall back on?
My first match, it was that fatal four-way. I didn't really have anything because I didn't know how to accurately use my judo and jiu-jitsu skills without actually hurting someone. I had trained prior with them, but I just learned how to bump and run the ropes. And I didn't really do much of that in the...
I was going to say, did she give you any basics? Like,
They went over, I guess, like the ideal of the match, and they just told me not to stress it and just go along with it. And we knew the finish. We knew the beginning. We knew the finish. Everything else that happened in it was just like fluff.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry, I keep referencing this.
No, you're fine.
You said that that there's not many women in backyard wrestling, which I'd never even like thought of. Why is that?
Well, mainly because it doesn't look appealing. You know, it's different than the aesthetics of pro wrestling. Like pro wrestling, we at least are aspiring to get a contract. Or you can look good and not really do anything depending on your gimmick. But in backyard wrestling, one, it is unsafe because you have a lot of wrestlers that have never received training, like official pro wrestling training, out there emulating what they see. And it's also a lot of different rough looking guys and things like that. And the average female isn't going to be like, oh, I want to do that. I want to risk my bones and my health to do that.
Yeah, that makes sense. When you could have it the other way.
Exactly.
So then you get injured?
I did. I got injured a little bit. I hurt something like at training for backyard. Something happened with my foot. And that gave me like one of those wake up calls, like, I'm doing this for free. At the time, I have a basic job that doesn't come with eventually I got benefits, but at the time I didn't have like health insurance or anything.
Oh yeah, and that's a big deal.
And then I realized it's just me. And then when I moved on my own, I'm like, if I get hurt, I'm struggling. Like mm-hmm. I don't have anyone to come here and they help me make my things or help me get dressed and things like that. So I started thinking and I started confiding in some of the workers. Mm-hmm. And some of them actually had or was receiving pro wrestling training. And that's when one of them told me, like, yeah, maybe you should sit this out. In the meantime, consider this. And they just started explaining to me pro wrestling.
Like, and did they give you like the name of the One Fall Power Factory, was it?
I was given quite a few names.
Okay, so so when you're given a bunch of names, for example, how do you pick the one that's for you?
I literally just went with what, like, the most convincing argument mm-hmm. or the best sales pitch. So okay. one wrestler that first told me, like, hey, seek pro training, he had been on the indie scene for quite some time. He was very promising. He was working shows like Evolve, like shows like all around. And so he was just like, well, hey, there are two schools that I recommend. And he explained the pros and the cons of both of them. But it kind of went in one ear and out the other because I was brand spanking new. And I didn't think at the time that I could even afford wrestling school. Oh, okay. So why even? I'm that type of person.
Yeah, why
I'm not going to think about it, you know. Mm-hmm. But then the second person actually was currently going to one of the schools and invited me up for a night. Mm-hmm. And that first training session was free. So, of course, I'm like, free? Sure. I'll drive up. And honestly, I had the intention to reach out to the other schools and say, like, hey, well, can I come visit? And then I can make my decision. We can talk, you know, talk about things, whatever. Mm-hmm. But, and I hate to sound cheesy, and I'm not just putting this person over because they're my trainer, but I think it's really important what I'm about to say. I went to training. I loved it. But what made me not want to go anywhere else, there's a specific student at the school that has so much heart, so much tenacity, so much just, they are wrestling. Mm-hmm. But they're, you know, they're different. You know, they're okay. not working with a lot of us were working with, you know. Mm-hmm. But QT Marshall did an on-the-spot wrestling match with this guy.
Okay.
And it was great. And I'm like, if this guy can make this guy look great, and the patience, because I'm sure this person, you know, and I don't know if they will want me to say their name or not or whatever, but I'm like, other places I'm sure wouldn't have been as patient with this guy, because they're just like, we just want serious wrestlers that look a certain way. And this guy, like, he, you can tell he loves the sport, and QT allows him to come there, put a match on the fly, have patience with this guy where I'm sure no one else would have.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is where I need to be, because first of all, I need things explained to me. Like, you know, I'm slow and I need someone to be patient with me and who's not going to BS me. And so I pull QT aside. And I'm like, do you really think that I can do this? And he was like, yeah. And I'm like, are you sure? Because this is what I'm working with. Like, I work, because at the time I was working like 10-hour shifts, 4 or 5 days a week. So I couldn't be there like every day, like the traditional, you know, school would be. And the fact that he worked out a plan for me at the time, which lets me know he's not about money.
Yeah, yeah.
And that was the case. And then he believed in me. I'm like, you know what? I think this is where I need to be. I don't need to search anywhere else right now.
Uh-huh. Now, does he know at this point that your background in backyard wrestling?
Yeah, I was completely candid with him. And he saw, he's like, well, for me, it most likely benefited me because I now know what bumping is like. I just had to perfect accurately bumping and running okay. the ropes, because those are usually the hardest things for a newbie to grasp mm-hmm. or to accept, because even if you're good at it, your body feels it the next day, and usually people don't return.
Would you say that like wrestlers are generally always sore?
Especially in the beginning, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So you go for your actual first. Where are you living at this point in relation to where you're training at?
At this time, I'm living in still in Macon.
Oh, so you're driving pretty far.
Mm-hmm. Driving 2 hours to training and 2 hours back.
By yourself?
Yep.
Oh, wow. Is your mother nervous about that part?
You know, I didn't tell her the details.
Okay, good.
So the only time she found out that I was really doing this is when I almost died.
Okay.
I had a death trap car. It was... Someone was helping me out by giving me this vehicle. However, I was unaware.
Or trying to kill you, but go on. I'm jumping to conclusions. Go on. I'm sorry.
You just never know. But I didn't know. Well, I knew that the windows didn't let down. The sunroof was the only thing that let that you could move.
Okay.
But I didn't know that there was exhaust leaking into the barrel of the car. And I didn't know. I would get to training sometimes like with a headache, but it would go away. Like nothing ever lasted. But It wasn't until one day I was so tired. I had the female issues going on and I was contemplating calling out of work. But with that job that I had, you better be dying and on the other side talking to Jesus before you call out. So I'm sitting in the car and I'm like, I could go to urgent care or I can go. So I got to work and I'm like, you know what? I'm just going to take a nap in my car with it running. But I didn't know what was going on. So I'm sitting here, I'm feeling a little like sick, but I was already feeling sick and I'm feeling really, really sleepy. So I'm like, I could just go to sleep. I'll probably just need rest and then I'll be fine. But something in me is like, just go on to urgent care. Just go to urgent care. Yeah. Worst case scenario, they write you excuse. I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah.
I go to urgent care and thank God this doctor like knows about like, I guess cars, or maybe it's more common sense than I thought at the time. But he smelled me when I went in.
How would he even jump to the conclusion of a car? He could smell it. Wow.
He smelled me, yeah. Because I think I went to my car for something. And then when I got back in, it was my turn to go directly back there. But keep in mind, I was sitting in the vehicle. And you can smell exhaust. Like, obviously, you can't smell carbon monoxide. Is that what you hear? You can't smell that. But you can smell the exhaust. And so I was explaining my symptoms. And that's what he thought I had. I mean, obviously, I had female issues, too.
Yeah.
But, like, he's like, let me check out something. So he goes to my car. And he was like, how long have you, like, have you been in your car for extended amounts of time? And I explained to him what's going on. He was like, sweetie, you need to take this car and get it checked out. Because I believe that there's exhaust that you're inhaling and your windows aren't letting down. So you're just constantly getting these. Some people get like the sick feeling. Some people, you know. So he was right. I immediately took it to like this place, like a muffler place or something. I don't know. And the thing was busted. So I don't know if this is making sense because I don't understand cars.
I don't understand cars either, but it makes sense.
I think the muffler or something.
Pipe
was like busted and thus it was leading into the car. So the doctor was right because I would have went back to work or I would have went back and I would have went to sleep in my car. Or if I didn't listen to that voice, I was just like, hey, just go to urgent care. I probably would have passed away in my vehicle and no one would have known.
How easy you would, I mean, just to fall asleep, like you could easily do that, but to make sure, okay, I got to go do this. Jeez. Did you get rid of the car or did you just have it repaired? Because it sounds like the car was trying to kill you and it may have to have been destroyed. So no one else.
Eventually, I traded it away, but I got that issue fixed because, I mean, I didn't have as much money at the time. I was saving up. So I still was like, well, it's getting me to point A, point B. So that's the thing. And I still drove it until I was able to afford getting another vehicle.
So you're making this long trip, the 2 hours there. So on the first day, the car, that 2 hour car ride, are you nervous at all?
Oh, very.
Very?
I was nervous, but I was really excited because there weren't that many people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I was just happy to be involved. I was happy to soak it up. I'm always nervous, though.
Oh, okay. Are you nervous when you do, like, your YouTube posts and stuff?
All the time.
Oh, really?
Everything, yes.
Huh. All right. It doesn't seem that way. Okay, so you're doing all this training. How long then to your first professional wrestling match?
A year later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And did you did someone say you're ready, or did you go to someone and say, I think I'm ready for my first match?
I did not ask for my first match. I did not.
Okay. Did you think you were ready?
No, I didn't. Okay. Because I didn't have a full year under my belt because things got hectic with work and life and my vehicle. So for maybe 3 months, 3 or 4 months, maybe even longer, I wasn't there. I went once in a while or something like that, but I wasn't fully there. So I'm missing that huge chunk. So December of 2017 to December 2018, I had very little on my belt, but I was good at selling. I was good at listening. So the promoter at the time was, you know, working with our trainer, and he's like, oh, she's ready. I want her to be on my show. And he put me with a girl that he trusted me to be with. But I was just not prepared.
And leading into how you don't like to watch your first match or any matches?
I don't like to watch hardly any of my matches, especially my early ones, because I just felt like I jumped. I was leaping before I had anything to stand on. Uh-huh. Now that what I know now, even though I still consider myself green, what I know now, I would have never taken those bookings. I would have fought hard because I don't know. Like, I just feel like I just wanted to train some more.
You wanted to come out when you felt you were at your best.
Yeah.
Is it difficult I'm marble mouth right now. Are the different promotions, what makes a good backstage and what makes a bad, like, environment? Like, do you see different, like, between different promotions you work at, some the backstages are great and some aren't? What's make a good one?
Well, this, my personal opinion, because everyone may have different preferences.
Sure.
But, like, good backstage, I like it when they obviously have an area for the women and an area for the men. Mm-hmm. When they keep you updated on what's going on.
Okay.
If you have, like, a monitor so you can technically watch the show, because we're workers, you know, I feel like it's great. First of all, I think if we pay attention to the monitor, it helps sets us up for better success for your match, because we're not listening to everyone planning their matches. Mm-hmm. And I don't want to repeat something that's done or see a move that's done and then next thing you know, I feel like it's buried because it's like my finish or something like that. Like, you just kind of need to be aware and aware of the crowd, because for some places it's considered unprofessional to go walk out and watch the match or to walk out and be in the crowd. So for me, having a locker room where you can watch the matches, and they don't have to have monitors in both the girls and the guys, they just make it better. But having an area in which you can watch the show, go over your matches, able to, like, change clothes without offending anyone. I like the ones that have food.
That's a good plus.
Yeah, I like those that have food and just, like, a good atmosphere. And like I said, just keeping us updated. Like, I've been at shows where, like, the promoter is, like, MIA, and then the show, they come in, like, 5 minutes before the show starts and give us the rundown. But then that thing, you know, we thought it was starting in 5 minutes and now it's starting in 30 minutes and we don't know what's going on.
Yeah, like if you have to shorten your match or anything.
And that they communicate and that they pay you, or they pay you accurately, or they keep in communication with you. You know, things like that.
Are you able to watch wrestling as a fan?
Yes.
You can watch it and separate? Okay. So do you have a Peacock Network, for example?
I actually don't have that now. I never made the switch.
Oh, yeah. Wait, is it still work, WWE Network?
I don't know, because
because the Peacock version is awful. I curse it every night. That's why I just watch IWTV.
I watch it on Sling. Like, I watch Raw, SmackDown. On, like, Sling.
Is Sling cheap? Affordable?
I don't know, because I'm using my friends.
Okay. Yeah, I'm using my friends' stuff too. We're all trading, like, Disney, right? HBO Max, all that stuff. How does the AEW bookings come about?
So how did I get on there?
Yeah, how do you get on their radar?
So for me, I It just started with, I don't even know what came first. It started with one day QT said that Cody wrote, so this is when All In was like in the developmental stages. Mm-hmm. And Cody Rhodes made a Twitter post of asking, are there any independent wrestlers that would like to sing the national anthem? So QT came to training one day. He was like, I almost suggested you, but you know, if you F up, then that's my name. And yeah, and I'm not sure if you would want to do it. And I was like, of course I do it. You know, like performing is my thing. I performed in Italy. I performed in Korea. You know, that's my thing.
Yeah.
And he's like, well, go ahead and retweet, like tweet back at him. And obviously I did. But I mean, I'm one little seed amongst a lot of other people.
Yeah, sure.
He didn't see it. So I think QT went back and told him. Uh-huh. And so I did a video. I sang the video, sent it to QT. QT sent it to Cody. So at this point, it's under review.
Okay.
But soon after, there's the American Dream, the Dusty Rhodes American Dream Scholarship Camp.
Okay.
I participated in that, and I won. So I was the first female to win the award, and then there was also a male selected. So it just kind of gelled because they were working up outside of the initial things that we got, they were working up a wrestling perk. And they were going to, I believe, offer the guy either a Ring of Honor tryout or a spot in the Rumble or something.
Yeah.
But they didn't have anything for me. So I think Cody just felt that it would be better. It's like, hey, and also you can sing the national anthem at All In. Congratulations for winning this, you know, blah, blah, blah.
That's a big deal.
So that's how I got to All In, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And I sang there. And wasn't the best performance of mine.
No, I saw it. It wasn't bad at all.
Yeah, but I could do better. But
Well, that's you. Okay. Now they've learned about you. Like, you never say that it was really good. Go on. I'm sorry.
No, you're fine. But, like, Cody and Brandy liked it. They were really, like, really, that locker room was amazing. And Cody was really awesome. They really put me at ease and really made me feel like I was welcome. Because, you know, at this time, I'm just like a twinkle in the eye of wrestling. I don't know what's going on. Heck, I didn't even know all the people backstage. Like, I knew enough because, like, I did my research because I didn't want to offend anyone by, like, knocking their hand or something. But I didn't really know the significance of this pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my step in the door. The following year, I was asked to participate in the first women's Battle Royale.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just a good story, you know, like, hey, she was a singer. She decided to go all in on her dream because Cody knows. Well, I don't know if he remembers, but he knows, like, I turned down going to grad school for wrestling.
Mm-hmm.
So I think
you're not just a singer who dabbles in wrestling.
Yeah. Like, mm-hmm. I turned it down for this. And I think Cody, he really likes good stories. So it's like, hey. This wrestler, she's a singer, but you know, you saw her last year. She's been training. This is what she can do.
Mm-hmm.
However, it didn't turn out to be that way. Like, I was supposed to do like a video package and things. It didn't happen.
Okay.
And I was somehow mysteriously eliminated as the first person in it. But I was there and I was in it.
Yeah, you're in the history books. Like, your name is in there for that match. And then, they invite you back for a singles match on AEW Dark?
No, I had a tag match.
Oh, tag match. I'm sorry.
Which has as my partner against Nyla and Leva.
And what's the thing like that stood? You said it was a great backstage. What's the first thing that stood out like when you walked in?
That it didn't feel like the Mean Girls table. It didn't feel like you can't sit with us. It felt like, hey, we're all in this together. Like. They made me feel like They made me feel like I deserve to be there, just like them. But obviously, we're like on two different levels.
Yeah, yeah. Were you like, was there part of you that was like, oh my God, this is surreal?
Oh, definitely.
Okay. All right. Okay. And my last wrestling related question for you is, are you able to step outside of yourself and say, wow, I'm a pro wrestler? Like, I did it.
Now I am.
Okay.
When I look at myself in the gear or I see a picture that someone else took
mm-hmm.
or I see someone compliment the match or critique the match and I'm like, I did that. Like, that was me. Like, whether it was a crappy match or it was a great match, that's me. Or that's me because I see the payoff that the gym is doing.
Yeah, yeah.
Know? And I'm able to just like, hey, because I grew up a nerd, you know, mm-hmm. I loved anime. I still do love anime. I'm a gamer. Like I did all that. And so superheroes or like a great protagonist or even a great antagonist was a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when I'm able to see a picture of myself in my gear or something, it makes me feel like I'm a real life superhero.
Yeah,
and I did that's it. I'm an anime character. Yeah. And that just like chokes me up every time.
Oh, that's great. Okay. Cause a lot of people can't like take a second and be proud of themselves, but like from a non-wrestler, as someone who's weak. Yeah. It's like, I would imagine it's be like having a superpower, you know? Do you design your own ring gear?
Yeah, they're my designs, but I have to give credit though because they remix throughout my progression, obviously. Mm-hmm. But my recent Sandra, she was the one that used to work with WWE. Now she's with AEW. Okay. She was the one that was like, okay, so I see what you're doing here. That's cute. However, let us remix this. And she remixed it. She's actually the one that made my gear for All Out. Yeah, All Out.
And, uh-huh.
And she is technically to credit for what it's come to now. But a girl that trains under her is the one that has taken it to the next level. So while it was like based around my idea, all the cool, intricate things you see now, I have to give it to those ladies.
Is it addictive getting ring gear?
It is, but you know, my wallet constantly reminds me of how.
Yeah, it is a tendency to do that. all right, I'm going to let you go in like a minute. Can I ask you 5 non-wrestling related yes or no questions?
Yeah, go.
And you don't have to provide any detail. Okay, have you ever worn a cape out in public? You know, to dinner, or to the movies? Never. Okay. Can you sing any Hebrew prayers? I'm Jewish and I cannot. No is the perfect answer. Okay. For $2.7 million, would you live in a tent the rest of your life?
Yes.
Okay. Is there someone that you consider disgusting? You don't have to tell me who.
Yes.
Okay. And finally, you're doing great. Last question. Do you think you'd make a good house pet?
Yes.
Okay, great. 5 for 5. You did amazing. Where are you wrestling next?
Tomorrow I'm wrestling in Spinebuster.
Okay. Oh, nice.
Coming back. Friday I'm wrestling at Flawless Wrestling in Tennessee. Saturday I'm wrestling at the Belladonna Division in Gaston, Alabama, and Sunday I'm wrestling at Pro Wrestling Action in Sanford, Florida.
So, hon, this is all driving between these places? Okay, the last question is, are you driving by yourself?
That's what it looks like right now.
Oh, jeez.
I'm often on the road. Yeah.
What do you listen to?
Me. I listen to me or I listen to certain podcasts. I listen to sometimes true crime stories to keep me awake.
Oh, nice.
If I'm afraid, then I'm not going to sleep.
Yeah, totally.
And music. Sometimes I have my own concerts and sometimes I'll play like a TV show from my childhood, like from like Hulu or whatever's on HBO Max or YouTube. I'm not watching it, but I have the audio.
And sure, sure. Totally.
Yeah.
A quick glance, it's fine.
You know, yeah.
all right. Well, thank you so much. I truly appreciate your time. I had a lot of fun talking with you, and hopefully I'll have you on again. Not hopefully, I'll have you on. Hopefully you'll come on again.
Of course. Thanks for having me.
Great. All right. Stay healthy and stay safe, and I'll be keeping an eye on you.
Thank you. You too.
All right. Take care. Bye.